Is daf kuf nun aleph. So we got to the last two lines of kuf nun amud beis, and the Gemara says, quoting from the Mishnah, says klal amar abashal kol sha'ani v'chulu. The Mishnah is saying anything that you're zocha to say, you're allowed to say on Shabbos. Zocha b'mirasa, you're allowed to be machshich on Shabbos. So Gemara now wants to know abashal ahei. Which comment of the Mishnah is Abishal commenting on? There's a Reisha and there's a Seifa. The Reisha said, "Ein machshichin." There's certain things you can't do on Shabbos, and the Seifa said there's certain things you can be machshichin. So which one is Abishal commenting on? So the Gemara says, "Ilema Reisha kai." If Abishal is commenting on the Reisha, which says, "Ein machshichin al tchum lischor palim lahavi peros," you cannot wait by the tchum in order to go hire workers. It says, "Ein," you can't do something. So Abishal should have also been in the negative. Aha, it should say. It shouldn't say kol she'ani zachai b'mirasa, rasha ani b'chashicha. So it's rather say kol she'ani zachai b'mirasa, ani rasha ani b'chashicha. So anything I can't say, I can't be machshich mibayle. That's what it should have said if in fact Abishal was commenting on the Reisha. Ella must be a seifa kai. What does the seifa say? The seifa says what you're allowed to do. Ava machshichu lishmor u'mevi peris b'yadar. You're allowed to wait by the tchum in order to go watch peris. That's allowed. That's in the positive. Now the Gemara says this too is problematic because it should say, "Hi, kol shani zachai b'chashecha sha rashai ani b'amirasa mibarle." It should say that which I could be machshichon, I could say. But Abishal phrases it on that which I could say, I could be machshich. So it's a different order. Though it's in the positive, what you're allowed to do, Abishal's statement first says what you can say and then do, but the Mishnah says what you could do. It should be what you should do first. So the Gemara says, no, there's something really that's added, that should be added in the Mishnah, which is as follows, Li olama seifa, kai. Really, Abishal is commenting on the seifa. V'Abishal aha kai, he's referring to a different statement, which is as follows. Damar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, mutar la'adam lomar l'chaver, a person can say to a friend, shamar li peros shebetchum echa, please watch my fruit that are in your tchum, that I can't access. Vani eshmur l'cha peros shebetchumi, and I will watch your fruit that are in my tchum. So you have this relationship, you have this deal, this agreement, that I say what I could do, you could say what you could do. So that's an amira. The kamar Abishal. Abishal is saying, on this agreement, the Tanakhama, Abishal says to the Tanakhama, Milo modis, do you not agree to me, to mutar adam lomar l'chavero, that you can't say to your friend, shamali perus shebetchumecha, vani eshmalcha perus shebetchumi? So don't you agree to me? They're arguing about what's allowed to be machshich, what's allowed to... But he says, you agree to me, you could say this to a guy, watch my fruit in your property, and I'll watch your fruit in my property. So once you establish you could say that, now, Ema, kol shani zachai b'amira, so that which I could say in my statement by Amira, then by extension, rashai ani l'hachshich alav, I'm able to also be machshich on the tchum as well. So that explains the statement of Abishal. Now, after establishing why Abishal, now how he phrased it in such a way, now we want to know what he added in. What was the klal he's coming to add in that wasn't already mentioned in the mission? The Gemara says, this klal, lasuyemai, whenever there's a klal, a principle laid down in the mission, it always comes to include something that was not yet mentioned. So what's it including? So the Gemara says, lasuyeha, to include the following case. The Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches us that, ein machshichen al tchum lahavi behema. You're not allowed to wait by the tchum in order to go retrieve an animal right after Shabbos. That's not allowed. But what you are allowed to do is ha'isa omedes chutz l'tchum korela. So you're allowed to vihiba. You're allowed to stand by the tchum, just not because you're being machshich there, but I'm standing by the tchum. I have my animal on the other side. Now I can't cross over. It's outside my tchum. But I can call my animal and say, hey, you know, whatever you call the animal, to the donkey, the dog, I could say, come over to this side. And there's no chashash that I might step over that boundary. I'm just calling the animal. That's allowed. And then klal, and now comes along, klal amar Abishal. Abishal says, kol shani zacha b'amirasa, that which I could be zocha by saying something, rashai ani l'hachshich alava, I'm able to also be machshich alava. So since Abishal holds, I could call the animal by amira, I'm also able to machshich on the mehema as well. So Abishal argues on the Tanakhama. So now the Gemara says further, just a Braisa adding other things that you can machshichon. The Braisa says, "U machshichon the hakeach al iske kala, al iske Hames, lehavi lo aron v'tachvichin. I could also wait by a tchum for Motzei Shabbos in order to go get closer to the Iske Kala and be involved in the mace and bring in aron and tachvichin. V'omrim lo, I could even say to people, leich l'makom ploni, the levaya, the chasna is going to take place in this location. If you don't find, you know, the aron or tachvichin in that location, then you could have b'makom ploni. You could try a different location to find the aron or tachvichin. And lo b'matzas b'mon, if you can't find it for this price, have b'masayim, spend double if you need to. So you could speak about any Indian. You could go, wait, you could be machshich, and you could also say matters relating to the aron and tachvichin or other iske kala and iske meis. But comes along finally the end of this discussion, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, u'bavach lo yaskilo sikum mekach. He says, although you could tell them to go here and to go there, he argued and felt that person should not mention prices at all. That's a violation of a daber davar, that one could not say. Okay, so this ends the conversation, or not really actually, but the mission continues of the concept of machshich al
hatchum. I'm sorry, so during on Shabbos, you're not allowed to be standing on the Irvan Kol Behema to come back?
You can, but the machok is whether or not you can be machshich as well. You could say it, you just can't be machshich. That's the debate.
But
machshich is waiting there. Calling out is allowed to be machshich. Waiting at the tchum, ready to jump over to get the animal, is a different violation.
But the whole thing is that you machshich to call her.
Not machshich to call, you're just calling her. Not to be machshich. You might be standing by tchum. You're not to stand by tchum. I can stand by the tchum.
Yeah, but you're allowed to do it on Shabbos also.
But I can't stand by the tchum there ready to jump over to go find the animal afterwards. I could stand on the tchum on Shabbos to call the animal, but I can't stay waiting for Shabbos to set in order to chase after the animal.
But here, so the case is that you're allowed to machshich and call her. No.
That's according to Abba Shol.
Yeah.
But Tana Kama says no.
But you're allowed to, and any time on Shabbos you're allowed to call her. So what's the chiddush?
No, one thing is you're standing by the tchum and calling the animal. The other thing, you're standing by the tchum waiting to jump over the tchum and chase after the animal. That you're not allowed to do.
Right.
So Mishnah says now, machshichin al tchum l'fakech al iske kala v'al iske meis. A person could wait by the tchum in order to be involved in chasen l'kala and meis l'havi lo aram v'tachvichin. And then the Mishnah says further, a nachri shehevi chalilin b'shabbat, a nachri brings different types of flutes, the instruments needed for the levaya b'shabbat, he brings it on Shabbos, lo yisbot behem Yisrael, elim kein bo mimakom karov. A person, a Yisrael, cannot use them to eulogize with them unless it came from a close place. Rashi explains here, nachri shehevi chalilin b'shabbat b'shvi Yisrael. He brought it in particular for a yid. Lo yisbot behen Yisrael li olam, forever. These chalilim are also forever. The knasahu b'shem du muchacha milsa de b'shvi lahuval. It's a knas. You can't benefit from a maisa of an akum and Shabbos. They only bring it for the mace. And therefore, in order to avoid a person from ever asking a goy to do something for you on Shabbos, they made a knas to ask for using chalilin li'olam. But if it came from makum karov, Rashi says, b'soch ha-tchum, if it came within the tchum, whereby there is no violation at all, then one would be able to use the chalilin after Shabbos. So then the Mishnah said, we'll define what's considered a makum karov in just a moment. So then the Mishnah says, let's say they make an aron on Shabbos, the guy make an aron for a mace, or chafrulo kever, or they dig up a kever on Shabbos. You cover bo Yisrael, you're allowed to bury a yid in there. Now this part of the Mishnah is where it wasn't done for a particular person. It was just stopped. They were busy making aronos, they're busy making a kever, so you could bury a Yisrael there. But in Bishvi Yisrael, if it was made particularly for a yid, so then lo yikaver bo alama, then it's usher to bury in it for forever. So the Gemara says, "My mi makum karav." What does it mean if the goy brother, the aron tachuichin from a makum, or rather the chalilin from a makum karav, you're allowed to then use the aron tachuichin? How do you define a makum karav? So the Gemara says there's a machlokas here. Rav Amar mimakam karav mamish, a close place, which means that Rashi explains here, makam karav mamish, kolomer shiyadu alanu bir, you know with certainty, hadavar, di mimakam karav bo, shirainam shayu bebesa, that you saw it in the house, that has to come within the tchum. So you have to have such clarity, it has to be that you saw it there, that it came within the tchum. That's what Rav says. Shmuel says, Shmuel Amar, chashinan shema chutz lechom alanu, We were concerned maybe it was outside the choma that it was there. Meaning even though you didn't see it in the house, maybe it was right outside the walls, even though within the tchum. Now this is an interesting way usage of chashinon. Normally chashinon means rechoshish and therefore it's usser. Shmuel says rechoshish actually was within the tchum, you didn't see it, and therefore it's mutter. So just look at the continuation of the Gemara, and we'll look at Rashi. Dekan mesnisen kavase. The Mishnah is very precise, according to Shmuel. The katani, asu lo arun v'chafer lo kever yukaver bo yisraelis. Alma misveka shari, so hachanami misveka shari. So the sound like from the Mishnah, it was just a case of a suffix that if he was burying, he was digging up a kever, or he's making an aron. We didn't say in the Mishnah that he was making one for a dafka nadi Yisrael. We just didn't know. He didn't specify. He was just stopped making it. It could be he was making it for a yid. Maybe he wasn't. So chashin and their marriage were choshesh. Maybe he wasn't doing it for yid, and therefore we're mekel. So to hear, if we don't know that it came out of the tchum, we could be choshesh. It came from within the tchum, and you could be mekel. So if you just look at Rashi for this usage of chashinon, Rashi says Shmuel Amar chashinon shema chutz lechoma lanu. Afilo hevi michutz leir. Even if it came outside the city, anu tolin lahatir. We're able to be lenient here. The omrim shema besocha tchum lanu be'er Shabbos. Perhaps it was within the tchum er Shabbos. The sofdin behen b'matzah Shabbos miyad. It could use the chalilin right after Shabbos. The chashinon nami amrina lekula, and he goes on to bring examples. Even though normally chashinon typically implies lechumra, we should be choshesh lechumra. We do have examples where chashinon means lekula, and we're choshesh that was in the tchum, and you could be mekel. And he goes on to bring a number of rayas in Rashi. So Gemara now says v'tanu kavasi de Rav. There's a brayse that supports Rav that karov means karov mamish, that we have to know with certainty that it was within the tchum. It says in the brayse. Ir she Yisrael v'nachem darimba. You have a city that's split with Jews and non-Jews. V'hayisa b'merchatz, ha-merchatz is b'Shabbos. So they have a merchatz, a bathhouse that was used on Shabbos by Nachum. So then the din is imrov Nachum l'erev rochets b'miyad. Now we certainly can't use it on Shabbos itself. You can't go to Mesa merchatz on Shabbos. The question becomes: can you use it after Shabbos miyad, or you have to wait k'dei sheyasu? So if most of the people living there were rover nachrim, which means that the base of merchatz was fired up, it was turned on, the water was boiled for a nachrim, because rover the people in the city are nachrim, so it wasn't done for yid, so that as long as Shabbos is over, there's no longer a malach of Shabbos, you could go in miyad, it's permitted immediately. However, im rov Yisrael, if most of the people living in the city are Yisrael, we assume if the bathhouse was turned on, it was turned on for yid, it was turned on Shabbos, so then the din is yamtin ad kidei sheyichamu chamin, then you have to wait the amount of time it takes to heat up the water. So let's say it takes 45 minutes to heat up the water in a base of merchatz, you need to wait 45 minutes after Shabbos before using that base of merchatz. So it all depends on how many, the population of how many are Jews versus non-Jews. Let's say it's mechsa, let's say it's half and half, then we'll read the parentheses, aser, v'yamtin ad kadei sheicham muhammin, if it's 50-50, so since there's no way to ascertain who it was for, we have to go l'chumra, and we say you have to wait, again, 45 minutes, or whatever the time is, after Shabbos. So comes along Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ba'ambati k'tan, if it's a very small bath, a small little base of merchatz, and Rashi says, sheyesh litlos v'lomar mishachashecha huchmu, that's possible, that maybe they fired up after Shabbos. I mean, there's room to be mekel, that you don't know when it was fired up. But you know, you come in Matzah Shabbos to the base of merchatz, it's already hot. You're like, wait a second, how could it be hot right now? It must be they heated up on Shabbos. But let's say you don't know. If it's a small enough bath where it's in theory possible that they heated up between the 10 minutes you got here and Shabbos ended, so then Rashi explained again, sheyesh litlos v'lomar, there's room to suggest that maybe mishachashecha huchmo, that ready when Matzah Shabbos set in, it got dark, that's when they fired it up. Are they avadim through their avadim, the komkimim harbi, they had many, many different jugs of hot water they poured in, so they're able to fire up a hot bath pretty quickly after Shabbos, even though you don't know, but there's at least a possibility, says Rabbi Yehuda. So the back inside the Gemara now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bampati Katana Im Yeshba rushes, if the rush is there, which is an Adam Chashev, a Shalit, a certain type of officer, a minister who's got a lot of servants working for him, then Rochitz Bamiyad, you're allowed to do it immediately. So we see from all this, however, we assume that. We assume the Tanakhama says, again, the Machlokas here, Rabbi Huda says, if there's a reason to be Makel, you can be Makel. But Tanakhama argues, says, no, if we don't know with certainty that it was fired up after Shabbos, we assume the worst, we're Machmir, so to that's Rav as well. That's a Brisa that's supporting Rav. If we don't know any better, if we don't know the Vav that came from Karamamish, we have to say, you can't use the Chalilin here as well. We're not Choshish that there's a possibility that it came within the Tchum. We don't Choshish that it's a possibility it was fired up after Shabbos. It's only the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So that's the Bryce's support for Rav. Now, within the world of Rabbi Yehuda, who says if there's a certain minister that was there, so the Gemara says, if there's a Rishus or Rashus that was there, so what does that mean? So the Gemara says, my Rashus or my Rishus, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Rabbi Yitzchak, but Rabbi Yehuda, im yesh ba adam chashiv, if there's a very chashiv person, there, a certain type of officer, she yesh la asara avadim, she mechamim la asara kumkumin bebas achas, he has 10 different servants who have 10 jugs of hot water they could fill up immediately, by batiktana, mutter lirchot bamiyad, if that's a real possibility, that person happens to be staying over in the city, so you could assume that lakula, then you're allowed to use a bath immediately after Shabbos, otherwise you must wait the kedei shias. Gemara now says, "Asu lo aron v'chafru lo kever." We said it in the Mishnah. If the Nachri is busy making aronos, making an aron, he's making a kever, you're allowed to use it unless he made it specifically for Yisrael, which case you cannot utilize it li'olam. So the Gemara says, "Amar amai hachanami yamtin k'bidei chashiyasu." How can the Mishnah said such a kever that was made b'shvil Yisrael asu lo b'olamis? Why don't we say, wait k'dei shiasu? We have this klal, whenever there's amir l'akum that was done on Shabbos, that you have to wait k'dei shiasu. So if it takes, I don't know, 30 minutes to make an aron, 30 minutes to bury a kever, wait that amount of time and then use it. Why are we saying it's aser olamas? So amar ula b'omeda basratia. So tell me a situation where it's made of basratia. What does basratia mean? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says three lines up, from the bottom, b'omeda kever b'asratia, she'ein derech yisrael likaver sham, devadai lo nasa b'shvil Yisrael. We're talking about a situation that, why you're allowed to use the kever right away if it was made stam. Right, the first part of that statement was, if they're making an aron, they're making a kever, a Yisrael could do a bury right after Shabbos is over. So the Gemara asks, why right after Shabbos? Shouldn't you have to wait 30 minutes until k'dei shiasu? So the Gemara says it was a kever that was clearly made for a nachri. How do you know it was made dafka for a nachri? Because the fact that it was made basrata, which is somewhere on the highway, where a yid doesn't bury a kever off the highway, it was certainly made for a akum. That's why you're allowed to make it. You have to use it after Shabbos because it was clearly made for a nachri. So Gemara says, okay, tinach kever. So kever, I understand. Because depending where the kever was buried, that indicates whether it's made in a Jewish cemetery or a non-Jewish cemetery. But Aron, Ma'iklamemer, how do you know the Aron was made dafka for a goy? The same Aron used for a goy is used for Yisrael. There's no indicator that an Aron was specifically made for a goy and therefore a Yid could use it right after Shabbos. And the Gemara says, no. Amar Rabbi Abo, b'mutal akvaro. If you have an Aron that was made right next to the kever that was in this Asratia, so just like the Asratia was clearly made only for Nachri, so too the Aron that's adjacent to the kever was also clearly made for the guy. And therefore, if it somehow gets into the hands of Yisrael, Yisrael is allowed to use it immediately after Shabbos because it certainly was not done b'shvil Yisrael. Now here the din is the Asr Olam, as the Mishad said. No, so this the question I posed initially was not the right question. The stama question, why is it Aser Olamas? That much I'm not sure. Let's see if they address it quickly. Why this then would be Olamas. No, we said the mission at the beginning as well. We had, it was Aser Olamas. Didn't we say that? If it was made for a Yisrael, it's Olamas. If it was made, if you're not sure, if it was a Safek, it was made, there's a Machlok, if you're not sure, then it could be. I don't know if that would be the same din, though.
I don't know if the Jew being buried in a kever that was made on Shabbos is going to be there forever.
Uh-huh.
Because the Jew's going to be there until Ches Mason.
Right. So it could be, that could be, I'm not sure if that's the din, though, because...
I think it's a Friday night, I just learned that recently. Uh-huh.
Interesting. Okay. I think Pajib Shad here is that different than that, though, because K'dei Shiyasu shouldn't really make a difference in that regard. It could be Stav B'Zayon, but Pajib Shad is when you make for a specific Yisrael, for that Yisrael it's Aser Olamas. For a different Yisrael, it's going to be K'dei Shiyasu. That's, I think, the Pajib Shad. But it could be there's an added element of B'Zayon also being buried in such a kever.
Right.
Yeah. But that's going to be right. Let's go. We're running out of time. I'm a little bit long now. So the mission begins now as follows. Osen lo kar tzarcher ha-meis. A person allowed to make old tzarcher ha-meis on Shabbos. What does that mean exactly? It says, Sachin Madichin al Sar, you're able to rub oil on him, you could wash him off as well. Ubavachal Yazaz Bo'aver, as long as you don't move any part of his limbs, that would be usur to move any part of the limbs. Now, there's an interesting din, the Shulchan Aruch brings that you're not allowed to touch muksa. You can't touch muksa. And the Shulchan Aruch is based on a Trumas Adeshim. The Gra says, based on this Mishnah, it doesn't seem to be the case. It's only Aser to move muksa, not Aser to touch muksa. And he brings a Rai from this Mishnah and doesn't know where the Shulchan Aruch gets this from. It says, you're allowed to rub the oil and the water in the mace, just don't move the mace. So we see clearly that moving is a violation of muksa, but touching is allowed. So it's a kasha, it's a tzarchin on the Shulchan Aruch. Further, the Mishnah says, Shomtin es hakar mitachto, the person is allowed to pull the pillow from below the head of the mace. Umatilin also al chol b'shul, you can also place the mace in sand. What's the reason why you place the mace in sand? Kadesh yamtin, so in order to cool off, as Rashi is on the top, line of Kufnin Alpha Mabez here, Shiyamtin shalol yasriach mechamas machmas chom hasadin v'akarim, because the warmer the mace remains, it starts to decay and decompose quicker and starts to smell. So you want to avoid any additional heat. So you take away the pillows and the warmth of the blanket, putting in the salt rather than the sand will cool off any temperature, and that's just a way of providing it with a proper temperature for now on Shabbos. Kosher as a lech, you're allowed to tie together the jaw so it doesn't open or close anymore. Lo sheyala, not that you should make it open, el shalol yosef, you don't want it to open any further, but you can't adjust it because you can't move any parts of the body, but you could at least tie it in such a way where it doesn't open anymore. You kind of keep it as open as it is and stop it that way. V'chein karash nishbra, if you have a beam that broke on Shabbos, the din is somchen oso besaftal o baruch hasamita, you could use it as a support for some type of bed or a couch or as a loy shetala el shel tosif. So what you can't do is you can't lift up the beam, but what you can do is you could position in such a way where it doesn't move and fall any further. So you could kind of put a bed there so the beam doesn't fall any further, but there's just a similar model whereby, although you can't move the lech, you can't move the jaw, you could position something to avoid it from opening further, so that you could position something so the beam doesn't fall any further. So the Gemara says, "V'hamer Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Ma'ase b'Tamud Midah Shel Rabbi Meir." Once, one of the students of Rabbi Meir, Shenichnas Acharav LeBeis HaMerchatz. One time, he was following Rabbi Meir, his Rebbe, into the Beis HaMerchatz, and Bikesh LaDiach HaKarka. He wanted to wash the floor. Amar Lo Ein Madich. You can't wash the floor on Shabbos. Now Rashi explains the Havamina here. You can't wash it. It's because it's muksa. The dirt they used to have dirt floors was muksa, so you can't wash that which has dirt on it. And then he said, Amr lo, said, lasu karka. Then he wanted to rub some type of oil on top of the karka. Amr lo, ein tachin, you can't rub oil on it either. So the Gemara says, karka b'karka machlefe, mace b'karka lo machlefe. So what's going on here is as follows. How come when it said to, rubbing the oil or the water in the mace, you're allowed to, but rubbing the oil and water into the karka, you're not allowed to? They're both muksa, right? Just like the mace is muksa, so do the karka muksa. So why by the karka we say it's aser, but by the mace it's mutter? So the Gemara says, karka b'karka machave. You could switch to different types of ground, but you're not going to switch the karka the mace. What does that even mean? So if you look at Rashi on the right side of the page here, Rashi says, karka b'karka michlaf, kolomar hahu la mishim tiltu. The reason why you can't wash the floor in the Beis HaMerchatz wasn't because of muksa. That was a havamina. Ela mishim ashvi gumos. You might come to soften out, spread, smooth out the ground. V'afagav demerchatz ritzbas avanimhu. Wait a second. In a bathhouse, they have tiled floor. There's no mashvi gumos unless there's dirt there. They have tiled floors in the Beis HaMerchatz. So what's the chashash? V'lekel meichash lashvi gumos. However, michlaf mia bakarka acher. The concern was, if I'm going to wash my tile floors, I might come to wash my dirt floors, and therefore they asserted it as a gzera. This would only apply to karka and karka. But if I'm going to wash a mace on Shabbos, that's not going to lead me to wash a karka. That's nothing to do with a mace and a karka, not related at all. And that's why you're allowed to wash the body of a mace, but you can't wash the body, or you can't wash the floor of a tile floor. Now this brought down the halacha where the person is allowed to wash a tile floor, and they end up saying it depends on what's considered the main way of putting floor down in a city. If the city is mostly dirt, so they say you're not allowed to wash any floors, even the rare occasion of tile floor. But if you live in a city, which we do, where most of the ground is tile, the concrete, the wood, whatever it is, where most of the ground we live in are not made of dirt, one would be allowed to wash the floors, pour water or oil on the floors. The Gemara now says further, kol asui emai. So when it said in the Mishnah, what's kol coming to include? So it said in the Mishnah that kol tzarchei meis. You could do all matters of a meis on Shabbos. So what's that coming to include that we did not already mention? So it says, lasui yahad de tana rabbanan. It says in the Mishnah, mevin kli meikar or kli matechas. You could bring some type of a vessel of cold water or metal, which metal is typically cold. If it's not under fire, it's usually pretty cold. Umanichan al kreis, you could place on the stomach of the mace, kadei shlo tipach, so it shouldn't swell up. Umpokin es nekavav, you could plug up any of the holes of the mace. Kadeshal tikanes ben ruach, so no wind, the air comes in order to avoid it from decomposing quickly. V'yav Shlomo amar b'chachmas, Shlomo said that ad asher lo yirasek chevel kesef. What it means is before putting the silver ropes in, it refers to zechud hashidra, referring to the spine. The turrets gulas hazav, it's referring to some golden bowl that broke. Ze'ama, it's referring to the ama. The tishaver kad al mabua, which is talking about a broken a pitcher, which broken at the fountain. That's a ze'akaris, it's referring to the stomach. The naritz agagal al habor, and the wheel that broke at the boar. Ze'paris is referring to the excrement. So the chenu omer zerisi perish al pinechem. Perish Chageichem, Pasuk says, that he's going to spread the perish, all the excrement, he's going to spread on the faces, and it's going to be the excrement of the, somehow of the Mo'adim, of the Yom Tovim. So this is an interesting Pasuk and a drash here, but either way we see from here that when referring to the mace, we have to protect all the different parts of the body so it remains preserved, including the spinal cord, including the stomach. So that's the reason why we'd have to plug up all the different holes in order to avoid any mess taking place further. So Gemara then says further, Amar of Huna, Amar Eila, Amar of Chaga, Eilu b'nei Adam shemanichen divrei Torah ve'osin koimem kichagim. This pasuk, the Gemara says differently, is actually describing a person who leave aside limud Torah, and they're osik in the world of Gashmi. They treat every single day like a yantif. The Amar Rabbi Levi, Amar Rav Papa, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, li'acha shloshim yom, after 3 days when a person passes away, kreso nifkas v'nofelos lo al panav, the stomach of the person apparently explodes, and all the the excrement falls all over his face. V'omer shlo, they say, tomash nesati bo, take back what you put in me, and that's how we view the blowing up of the stomach. We don't want this excrement, get rid of this gashmis that's in my body. That's apparently what happened. So that's what Shlomo Melech was referring to, and that's why we have to really preserve the body properly, lest this disgusting thing happen after the death. The Mishnah says further, Ein matzmin is a mace b'Shabbos. A person cannot close the eyes of a mace on Shabbos. V'lo b'chol im yitzias nefesh. Nor could a person do this, as the neshama is departing from the body. One should not close the eyes at that same time. V'hamatzim im yitzias nefesh. One who does so, close the eyes as the person is dying. The din is a harezeh shovich dam. It's like killing a person, because it could be the person was like going back and forth between life and death, and when they closed the eyes, that mamash brought the death on. You were involved in the misa. Therefore, make sure not to close the eyes of a mace until you know for sure that the person is not breathing anymore. And the Yirei and Paskin, that this was actually called mamash shvichas damim. The person was given Eden Hasra. Don't do that. And he closed the eyes as the neshama is departing from the body. That would actually be tantamount of a real ritzicha, according to Yirei's understanding of this particular Mishnah. The person must be very careful when coming to closing the eyes of a person who's dying. So Gemara quotes a brayso, Tanu Rabbanan, Hamatzim et Yitzias Hanefesh Harezeh Shovech Damim. Person close the eyes as the neshama is leaving the body. It's like killing, like the Mishnah says. It's a mashal on ner. It's compared to a candle, Shekav of Holechetz, that the end, you know, it's flickering. It's going in and out. It's extinguishing. It's going back on. It's still flickering a little bit. Adam Menech Etzba Aleh. Person puts his finger right by the wick. Miyad Kavsa, the fire goes out. That's what's compared to. Person puts his eye and close the eyes of the finger and close the eyes of the mace. You put out the candle forever. So Tanya Brisa says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Hirot says, she is atzmu ein of shemes. A person wants to get the eyes of the mace closed. What should you do? No feach lo yain bechodmo. Apparently, you could blow wine into the nose of the mace. Venosin shemen ben rise ein of, or place some oil between the eyelashes. Veoches bishnei gudale raglev, holding on to the big toes of the mace. Behem etzmu me'alen. Apparently, this is a trick that it caused the eyes to shut. So I don't know if what they do by the Tyros, how they accomplish this, but either way, that's what the Eitz is brought down by the Braisa. Tanya, the Braisa says further, Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, Tinok ben Yomo Chai, Mechalon of the Shabbos. We know if a child is born, the first day, just a newborn, mamash a newborn, one would have to do whatever they need to do to save the child's life if the life is in danger. We're Mechalon of the Shabbos for Tinok ben Yomo Chai. David Melech Yisrael Meis Ein Mechalon of the Shabbos. But David Melech, who's a great tzaddik, a great melech, of course, who dies, you don't do a thing for it. We don't care about the quality of the person. It's about life or death. If a person's dead, no matter who he was, we don't do any Chil Shabbos. But if it's a child who has no quality of life just yet, we would do anything in the world to save that child. Tinok ben Yomo Chai Mechalon of the Shabbos. Amar Torah, the Pasuk says, the Gemara, we have a Joshua, Chalal of a Shabbos Echad, Kadesh Shishmer Shabbos Harbe. We're able to violate one Shabbos in order to preserve many Shabbos coming in the future. David Melch Yisrael Mace Ein Mechalim Vashalav. We don't Mechal Shabbos to protect the body. Covered Hamase. Kevin Shemase, Adam Batal Min HaMitzvahs. Once a person dies, we know there's no longer performance of mitzvahs, and therefore there is no reason to perform Mechil Shabbos. Behind with Amar Rebbe Yochanan, Bamase Mechavshi, when a person dies, he's free. What does it mean free? Kevin Shemase, Adam Nase Chavshi Min HaMitzvahs. When he dies, he's free. Means he's free of any mitzvahs. He does not have the burden or obligation. He's not allowed to perform any mitzvahs. That's why the Gemara says that we would bury a mace in the Shatnez and climb, and Tachricha made a climb because there's no performance of mitzvahs. There's no issue of performing mitzvahs when a person is dead. So the Gemara then says further, V'tanya Rabbi Shum ben Elazar Omer, Tinok ben Yomo Chai, Ein Tarch L'Shomo Minachulda U'Minachbarm. Interesting, if you're an animal, rather a person, a child, a newborn that's alive, you don't need to protect it from some type of rodents and weasels, because they're scared when there's a live human being, regardless of the age, they're scared. Aval Og Melchabashan Mace, huge, old Melchabashan, massive, giant. If he dies, no matter how big he was, Tarach L'Shomer Minachulda U'Minachbarm. You do need to protect the body, no matter how big he was, from different types of rodents. Shenemar, as it says, U'Murachem V'chidchem Yihyeh, there's going to be fear upon you, that every animal will fear you. Kozman She'adam Chai, as long as one's alive, then Eimasa Mutalas Al Habrios, there's going to be fear amongst the animals. And that's why a chulda and achbar, mice and weasels run away from even a tinok ben chai, because the tinok's alive. But kevin shemes, once a person dies, even though he may have been as huge as og mechabashan, but leimaso, the fear is no longer present, and you do have to protect the body from all types of animals. So Amra Papa, Papa says, Naktinan arye abetre lo nafa. We have a certain misara that a lion doesn't attack two people. There's a certain fear. Even an animal is scared of people. So one-on-one, a lion's willing to take that match. But one against two, a lion, even a lion, has a certain fear of human beings. Bahaka chazina and dinafa. We see that animals do attack. A lion will attack even a pack of two people, even more. So ahu kidirami bar abba. That's another statement we have. Dama rabbi rami bar abba. Ein chaya sholetis ba'odam ad shenidba lo kibehema. The chaya only attacks an animal, rather attacks a person, if the person appears like an animal because of his certain midos and derech eretz and his lack of mitzos. When a person appears like a behemoth, so then the chaya is not viewing him as a human, he's viewing him as another animal, as another prey for him. Shenemar, it says, V'odam bikar bal yalin nimshak behemos nidbu. So when a person, when he's compared to an animal, so then he's in danger of from other animals attacking him. So Amar Rebbe Chanina, also, Lishon Bibayis Yachidi, just a different statement, just nothing to do with what we talked about beforehand, but we say, Amar Rebbe Chanina, also Lishon Bibayis Yachidi, V'chol Ayashim Bibayis Yachidi, Achzaso Lilas. A person should not sleep in a house by himself. One who does so is in danger of being overtaken by this particular demon called Lilas. There's a discussion, does this mean only Balayla or even Bayom? The Rush sounds like he's saying this is only Balayla. If a person sleeps in his house alone, Bayom, there's no such concern. But from the Zohar, it sounds like sleeping in a person's house even Bayom would be should be concerned with this particular statement of Rabbi Chanina. Gemara says further, Navatani, the Raisa says that Rabbi Shimon, Ben Elazar Omer, he would say, Asa ad sha'ata motzi umatzi lecha vodcha biyadcha. So he says that a person should do something, ase achata motze, you should do something while you could find someone to be makabalah. We'll see what that means in a second. Umatzilecha, and you'll have the money, vodcha biyadcha, it's still available to you. Meaning a person has a tzedakah, has money, you should do it when everything's available. When you have the money, when you're an usher, he's an ani, the money's in hand, don't wait, you should do the mitzvah. Again, if you have the hand, again, ata motzi, matzi lecha, vodcha v'yadcha, all the different factors are in place, don't waste the mitzvah and do it right away. V'yash Shlomo Amar b'chachmas, so Shlomo said as well, u'zechores borecha b'mei b'churosecha, remember your borei olam, Hashem, when you were younger, ata shelo yavo yimei hara, until the days of hara came, until the days of evil came. What does that mean? Eile mei zikna, these are the days of aging. V'higia shanam asher tomar ein li b'hem chavetz. And then the years came along where you said, I have no interest in them anymore. That's referring to Mashiach. There's no longer zechus or chover. What that means is a person should chop all the mitzvahs now in this world, because by the time Mashiach comes, apparently you're not going to have, it's no longer a time of collecting or earning zechus. It's already done. So do the mitzvahs now while you have the availability, because you wait till the time of Mashiach. Whatever you got, and whatever you didn't get, it's already too late to start building up. However, the Gemara says, in the quote Shmuel Shita throughout Shas, who pligi Shmuel, Shmuel says this is not true. Mashiach's time is not going to be any different than we have right now. He says, Ein bein olam hazeh limos Mashiach ela shibud malchus bavad. The only difference is between now and limos Mashiach is simply that who's going to be in control, who's going to be running the government, that's the only difference. But everything else is going to be the same. We're going to be driving cars and planes and phones and everything else will be exactly the same. We'll be doing mitzvahs, we'll be collecting a mitzvahs, there'll be zechuyos, there'll be chobos. The only difference is shibud malchus bavad. Shenamar, it says, ki lo yechtal evyon mikarev aretz, that we're never going to cease to have a poor person in the land, meaning even the times of Mashiach, they're still going to be in Evyon, poor people. So we see things are not going to change. Shmuel argues on the position of the Braisa, and this is how the Rambam quotes also, Lalacha, that there's not going to be any difference between now and the times of Mashiach, except for Shibud Malchus Bavad. So Gemara says, further now, Tanya, Rabbi Elazar, Kafar, Omer, Liol Mivakish, Adam, Rachamim, Al Midazu, a person should always ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Anias. He should daven, he should not become an Ani. Shimhu Lo, Ba, if he doesn't, Beno, if he doesn't become poor, his son becomes poor. Vim Beno lo ba, if his son isn't poor, Ben Beno ba, his grandson will become poor. Because Shinemar ki beglal hadavar hazeh, this is something that kind of happens. It's a glal. It always gets a glal means to be golah, to return. It's circular. You have grandparents who are very wealthy and grandchildren who are poor. It goes back and forth. So it's part of the system how the world runs. So you should always daven that you don't want to be the one who gets the lot of being an ani. And Tana, the Bei Rabbi Shmuel, Galgal Hu Shechozer B'Olam, this is a wheel that turns throughout the history of the world, that they're going to be grandparents that are wealthy and grandchildren that are poor. So again, you should always daven that you don't fall in that chelek of being an ani. So I'm Rav Yosef, Nikitin Hai Tzubim Rabbanon, Lo Mi Ani. We have a Mesara, that Tamid Chacham never become poor. Why is that? So Marsha has two different pshatim. He says, number one, either because a Talmid Chacham is able to sustain himself in very little, so he'll never feel poor, no matter how little he'll have. So perhaps relative to others, he's poor, but into his own life, he's very satisfied with what he has. Alternatively, Marsha suggests, since a Talmid Chacham oftentimes has many friends, his friends won't let him get to a place of being poor, so perhaps even though individually he may not earn too much money, but from the friends helping him out, he'll avoid from ever becoming poor. So that's the Masor we have, says Rav Yosef. Don't we see that Tamid Chachamim are poor many times? Im Isa, if it's true that they became poor, so then they're not going to go around begging for Pesach to Pesach. They're not going to go ask for money from door to door. So then, Amr le Rabbi Chir le Dveisu. Rabbi Chir said to his wife, Ki Yasa Ani, when a poor person comes to us, Akdimi le Rifta, give him a piece of bread to eat. Ki Echa de Lakadmi Levnech, so that you have something for your children. So when they become, aniyim, so people will have the same thing. Meaning, you want to train society to serve bread as opposed to giving money. Give bread. Because he says he knows eventually his offspring will become poor, because that's just the circle of life. So then people will go give them food when they go look for some money. So then Amri Leh, so she says to her husband, Rabbi Chia, Milat Kalaitis Lehu, you're cursing our children, they're going to become poor? What do you say? Amr Leh, Kroksiv, I'm reading a pasuk. It says, Ki beglal hadavar hazeh, that this thing is a wheel, and if we're not poor, that means the children or grandchildren are going to be poor. V'tanid Rebbe Yerishmal, Galgal Hu Shechozer B'Olam, as we said, the wheel of the poverty is something that turns throughout the history of the world. Satani, the Braisa says, further that, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Omer, V'nosin lecha rachmim v'chamcha v'yirbecha, the pasuk says a person should be covered in rachmim, and Hashem should have mercy on us. What that means is, Kolam rachim al abrios, he who has mercy on others, merachim alav min hashemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show compassion to him. V'chol she'enim merachim al habrios, those who don't show compassion to the world, the people in the world, ein merachim alav min hashemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so too will not show passion, compassion to him. So, ana shelo sech shach ha-shemesh va'or, the pasuk says in Koheles, that before the sun, and before the sun goes down, and it gets dark, zubatachas va'chotim is a reference to a person's forehead and his nose. So then, this is then to vayarech zu neshama. The neshama is called the yarech, called the moon. Kochavim elu halasatos. These are referring to the cheeks. It's called the stars. V'shavu ha'avim ma'achar geshem. The clouds that come after the rain. Zu mor enav shaladam. A person's eyesight. Shaholech achar bechi. That a person gets weak when a person cries. So this is just referring to when a person dies, how the body decomposes. The different parts of the body, they just kind of slowly, the lights go out. The skin goes out, the cheeks, the eyes, and the nose, everything like that. So Amr Shmuel says, now, hi, dimasa, so a tear, so ad arbam shanin hadre, that when a person cries, so for 40 years it returns, that apparently the tear could exist in the body for 40 days after the mace. But afterwards, lohadre, the body can no longer produce any more liquid, it can't produce any more tears. So Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says, Hai kuchla. Kuchla, which is from the eye, ad arbam shanim marvach, that it helps the eyesight, apparently, with a person putting the kuchla, or some type of eyeshadow around the eye, it helps with eyesight for 40 years. But mikan ve'elech, but after that point, afil malya kavsina degirtsai, even a person fills up so much around the eye, ok mimokim, it only preserves the eyesight, but arvichilo marvichah, doesn't benefit, doesn't enhance the eyesight. So my kamashalam, what we learn from here? The Gemara says, the kamada olima mukuchla tre mala, that a person, the thicker the eyeshadow is, the better it is for the eye. So again, this was somehow some type of medicine they'd use to improve the person's eyesight. The Gemara says a little bit further now, Rabbi Chanina Shchiva Leibart. At one time, Rabbi Chanina's daughter had passed away, and lo hava kabachila, and he didn't cry about his daughter. So Amri Leisho, Devesa, the wife said to him, Tarnagola apchem ibesach, simply a chicken died in your house with your daughter. Why are you not crying over your daughter? Amri Leisho says to her, Tarti, for two reasons, Tichle Vivira. So number one is, I lost a child, but should I also lose my blindness? Because if you cry so much, the tears are going to ruin the eyesight. So therefore, I'm going to hold back my tears so I don't also lose my eyesight. Okay, let's stop here. Mr. Shem, we'll continue tomorrow with this sugya, the Gata, about tears in Gemara, I guess.